We're getting a little break from the heat at the moment, but summers are hot where we live and mostly dry. And this dry season follows a winter with very, very little snowpack. So the usual mountain sources of many streams are just not there. Flows are down and bacteria levels are up in many streams. Four of them in the Medford-Ashland area were recently identified as having high bacteria levels, levels that exceed state standards. And that's not exceed in the good sense. We have two guests with us from the Rogue Valley Council of Governments. Greg Staubach is the Natural Resources Program Coordinator. Welcome, Greg.
Good morning.
Kelly Miller is here as well. She's a RVCOG Natural Resources Specialist. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Greg, about for the folks who don't know, why does RVCOG have its own natural resources program?
Well, the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, part of our, I guess, mission is to work for the cities and the county. And, you know, we certainly fulfill, specialties that the communities may not have. And natural resources is kind of a specific program that there's not a lot of staff support. So we're able to fill that niche for the cities and the county.
Then you work hand-in-hand then, I assume, with the DEQ, the State Department of Environmental Quality, and other agencies?
Yes, that's correct. They're responsible for water quality standards and also implementing Clean Water Act programs in the area.
RVCOG's main focus for many years seemed to be Bear Creek. Is that a fair assumption?
That's a fair assumption. And Bear Creek definitely, unfortunately, has more water quality concerns. It's more heavily urbanized. And it also has the unfortunate distinction of being the second TMDL in the state. Total maximum daily load. It's a program under the Clean Water Act. And it basically is for streams that are very water quality limited. And we were second after the Tualatin River in Portland area.
What's the issue with Bear Creek? Well, let me come at this in a different way. First, has water quality improved at all, say, in the past 15 years?
Water quality has definitely improved. There's been a lot of, management by the cities and the counties, a lot of programs for managing urban runoff, stormwater management, and also water quality programs looking at it. And, you know, so it's been keeping up with, despite the population increases, the water quality has been getting consistently better. Again, a lot of that's from implementing Clean Water Act programs and also the stormwater management, urban runoff, and then also the total maximum daily load, the water quality programs. We've been working on that for many years. The program has been in Bear Creek done as a region with Ashland, Medford, Phoenix, Talent, Jacksonville, Jackson County, and Central Point. So everybody working together collectively to really look at improving water quality conditions. And it's been fairly successful, but we certainly want people to know that there's a long way to go.
So even in, you got a lot of entities obviously all concerned about the general health of Bear Creek. What's the general set of challenges it faces?
There's the total maximum daily load process lists a number of different pollutants. And as the more we study the system, unfortunately, the more we find that there's other things that are concerning us. The main pollutants we're looking at now are both temperature and bacteria. And, you know, the way water quality standards work, it's based on beneficial uses, use of the water, and they're restricted what's considered the most sensitive of the beneficial uses. So for temperature, it's fish, salmonids. Bear Creek still has a fairly healthy salmon population, coho, chinook, and also steelhead. And then bacteria is for human health, so contact recreation, which we're not allowed to do. Because the goal of the Clean Water Act is to make all waters fishable and swimmable. So at some point, hopefully, the conditions in Bear Creek may improve to a point where we could. It's just if that happens, it'll be many years out.
How long has it been since Bear Creek was, can anybody really remember the last time it was not closed to human water contact activities?
Not that I'm aware of. I know it's, I think in the, you know, there's some anecdotal stories I think of in the 50s when things were done a little differently. Certainly some worse water quality conditions in the watershed. I think there may have been some combined sewerage overflows where it was practiced to actually, in high flows, allow some of the treatment, the untreated ways to essentially enter the water. So there's definitely stories of things floating down Bear Creek back in the 50s or so.
All right, Bear Creek is not our sole focus here. We'll be talking about some of the other creeks in the Rogue Valley that are suffering some high bacteria levels with Greg Staubach and Kelly Miller from the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, RVCOG. You can join this discussion at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So given the general realm of what goes on in Bear Creek, it looks like when you get a report of the bacteria levels exceeding state standards, it's a really more of a when, not an if.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a when, and typically this is the way the water conditions are in any summer, but of course it's much worse in Bear Creek this summer because of the drought. You have conditions are just very conducive to bacterial growth. You have the water, lower water levels, you have it's warmer, there tends to be more nutrients in the water. You also have different parts of the system with the way water's moved from canals and also used in for agriculture, for lawn irrigation, just have a lot more potential for inputs of bacteria. So, I mean, and also other pollutants as well.
Right. So the sources for Bear Creek and some of the other streams, too, it sounds like, are water that's already been used a couple times.
That's certainly, you know, water that's been used depends on what it's been used for. I mean, certainly, you know, there's potential for water quality impacts from agriculture, from livestock. We've seen illegal dumping RV waste. You know, I've personally witnessed that, unfortunately. We've also, you know, pet waste is an issue. I mean, if you throw anything in the ditches in front of your house, you know, that certainly can get into a storm drain. Storm drains go into the creek. So everything is directly connected. There's always a possibility, you know, there's septic systems. There are places in the county where there still are some septic systems that are not maintained or the systems are leaking. That's a potential. And then, unfortunately, we still see occasional cross connections, you know, for whatever reason, instead of the, you know, pipes going into the sewers, they go into the storm drains from some people's homes. So, I mean, that's part of one of the things we're trying to correct. And certainly the stormwater programs, there's, you know, looking at tracking storm drains, sending cameras up, trying to figure out, you know, what's causing these, you know, the inputs of bacteria, and then certainly correcting the problem if we can find one.
In Bear Creek in particular, I mean, and so much work has been going on for so long. I mean, it seems like you've gotten to a real point of diminishing returns where, I mean, in each situation you find is not going to yield you that much in the way of a gain in water quality.
You know, certainly it's tough to find a solution because, again, we're not only, you know, the areas increasing in population, we're getting more heavily urbanized, we're finding more problems for every gain we make. We certainly find more problems. However, you know, we're certainly still making strides, still doing more. And again, looking at one of the things we look at is the Water Quality Index, which is from the Department of Environmental Quality. They have a station down at the mouth of Bear Creek, and they track water quality over time. And Bear Creek has been increasing, and for, I think, from like for a couple of 10-year periods, like 1995 to 2005 or something like that, Bear Creek was the most improved water body in the state. It's just it was in terms of the categories, it went from a very poor to poor, so we have a long way to go. And, you know, we are starting to, you know, we started off doing probably the things that are not necessarily easier, but, you know, some of the more lower-hanging fruit, some of the projects we could accomplish, and now we're looking for bigger. And sometimes the things that need to be done, you know, the return isn't as big as those items that would basically give you the biggest bang for your buck are just so cost prohibitive, or there's regulatory concerns, permits, or things like that that really limit our ability to, you know, make huge strides.
All right, we've been focusing on Bear Creek, but there are three other creeks at the moment under bacteria advisories.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Also Neal Creek, Griffin Creek, and then also Jackson Creek. And they're all tributaries of Bear Creek. And typically what we find, again, we've been monitoring water quality in the region since 1996, and typically in the summer, once bacteria enters the system, it generally stays in the system, and we, you know, put out a press release, and, you know, we certainly just let people know this is an advisory that's based on monitoring we've done where the samples have exceeded the state standards. So it's not saying they're closed. We don't make that call. That's something that the Jackson County Department of Health would. And there are other communities that do additional testing, like the city of Ashland does do their own testing. And there are times of the year where the reservoirs or the waiting areas in Lithner Park are closed, but that's done by the city and also on the advice of the Jackson County Health Department.
Okay, Greg Staubach and Kelly Miller again from Rogue Valley Council of Governments. We have an email here from Bruce in Ashland. He writes, I worked at a home on Neal Creek whose septic was leaking into Neal Creek. The new home buyers were not able to fix it then, so they left it leaking into the creek. I also visited a farm on Bear Creek where they were taking all the manure from the barn and piling it in a pile on the edge of the creek where it would drain into the creek. I also noticed that in downtown Ashland, the restaurants power wash the outdoor areas into Ashland Creek. Your comments? Bruce in Ashland.
Oh, wow. That's you know, somewhat of a complicated question in terms of, you know, the regulations slightly vary depending on community and also depending on what the issue is in terms of the I think you're saying it was manure near
manure
the creek.
Bear Creek, yeah.
You know, if it has the potential to impact water quality, that certainly can be something that either the Oregon Department of Agriculture or the Department of Environmental Quality can follow up on. However, that system is based on a complaint procedure. So basically somebody has to call it in if they notice and say, you know, I think there's a concern, and then the Department of Agriculture or the Department of Environmental Quality will follow up on it. In terms of power washing sidewalks into storm drains, I think in most cases that's considered certainly not recommended, potentially against the rules. Most communities have what they call an illicit discharge ordinance, and basically prevents anything other than rain or, in some cases, clean water from entering storm drains. So I'm not sure, because it's power washing is clean water, whether or not that's be a question for the city. And then there are certainly activities that are exempt, you know, firefighting and stuff along those lines.
Mm-hmm. And Neal Creek, the septic situation, is that something actionable too, or is that also on a complaint basis?
That's something actionable, but I believe that's on a complaint basis as well. And, you know, there used to be a septic program where, you know, they did some permitting and some enforcement. I think right now it's under DEQ's jurisdictions, that would be a question for the local Department of Environmental Quality.
But when you say on a complaint basis, what it means is DEQ is not driving around looking for things. There's no patrol, in other words.
That's correct. Right.
Let's take a call from John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Greg Staubach of RVCOG.
Thanks. Well, I have a simple question. Would you drink out of the Rogue River? I kind of think that's not a good idea, but how dangerous would it be, and what would happen to you, et cetera, et cetera? Or maybe even the Willamette. Oh, and one other comment. I grew up in Portland, and back in the 60s, Dad had a boat through on the Willamette a lot. Man, it's a lot better than it used to be. There was so much debris in the river. We ran over a power pole once and broke off the propeller. I mean, and it stunk so bad. So, I don't know. Back to my original question, though. What about drinking out of the river? Thanks.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it.
I assume that you're talking treated after you want to treat the water, either, you know, through a commercial, you know, a wastewater or a treatment plan, or even, you know, I mean, I do a lot of backpacking, and, you know, so I have a filter system, and I, you know, would drink out of the Rogue River for that, use it as long as it's treated. I
mean, but you wouldn't slurp right out of the Rogue River.
No, because there's too much potential for, it's just very unsafe to do that. I mean, there's just a lot of contaminants that could be in it, whether it's chemical or biological. So, yeah, I definitely would not. But, I mean, the Rogue River is – the bacteria levels are typically lower from the limited data that I've seen. I mean, it's open for swimming. So, I mean, and I've swam in it and been fine. I just wouldn't necessarily drink glasses of water of it.
So for the creeks that are showing high bacteria levels, is it consistently one kind of bacteria, a couple kinds of bacteria?
Well, what we test for is E. coli. And what the E. coli test is more of a indicator. If you find a high presence of E. coli, it's also an indicator of, you know, pathogens or disease-causing bacteria are also in the water. And it's based on, there was a number of tests done where they monitored E. coli for actually swimmers, and they found, I think it was 36 out of 1,000 swimmers got sick in this case, where bacteria levels were above the standard. So it's looking at assuming risk, and again, we just do an indicator, and E. coli right now is that the state mandates you test for, recommends you test for.
Are there levels above where we are right now in the sense of, I mean, it's unsafe now, but is there a point at which it reaches a lethal level or something like that?
Not that I'm aware of. Once you get, you know, high enough, it's just avoiding contact with the water. And clearly, you know, there are levels that we see in our testing. Actually, it maxes, our tests max out at about 2,400 I think it's colony forming units. And at that point, you can dilute it to get a higher test. And I mean, every once in a while, we've caught essentially a cross connection and it maxes out the scale. So if we see something like that, it causes us to really look a little further.
All right. The, you mentioned earlier about how people will sometimes take pet waste and dump that in storm drains and things like that. And I know that, that there was an issue in Ashland a couple of summers ago that I think people thinking in terms of, well, it's just one pile, and I just kind of knocked it into the irrigation ditch, I think was what the case was there. But that actually can cause a bit of a problem, can't it? I mean, it's not just like, oh, it'll be diluted. It's not that simple, is it?
No, it's not, and especially in the summer because we have such low flows. And I think that was the result of the Rogue Riverkeepers did a study of Ashland Creek where they – it was one of several studies that's been done over the years where they really tried to look for – essentially a smoking gun of what was causing the bacteria levels in Ashland Creek. This had a historic problem. And I think they found that it was their one of their, I guess, results or best guesses was that it was from people walking dogs next to the irrigation canal up there, and they were allowing the waste to get in. The waste was washing into Ashland Creek and causing a problem. And years ago, we did a DNA fingerprinting study in Ashland Creek where we tried to identify the sources, and it was inconclusive, but the lab suggested there could be a regrowth issue, meaning once the bacteria gets in the water, it basically just keeps growing. That wasn't a guaranteed, but certainly a possibility.
All right, so something to think about. Once it gets in there, it doesn't get out easily. Bear Creek, Neal Creek, Griffin Creek, Jackson Creek, all with advisories above normal levels or acceptable levels of bacteria. And any reason to believe that without rain this is going to improve over the course of the summer?
No.
All right. Greg Staubach is with the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, RVCOG, Natural Resources Program Coordinator. I want to thank you and Kelly Miller for dropping by the studio today to talk about the creeks.
Okay, well, thank you.
That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We'll talk about opera in hour number two coming up.